Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning Iyov Perek Tezayin, the 16th chapter of the book of Iyov. This is Iyov's first half of his response to Eliphaz. Just remember, Eliphaz has made his second speech to Iyov, making some very negative accusations to Iyov, even as far as suggesting that Iyov is a Rasha Vatovlo. Iyov was really a closet Rasha, and his whole life was led because he had a good run, but now the real punishment is coming to him. So this is some very serious allegations that Eliphaz levied against Iyov. And Iyov is now responding, and this is the first half of his response. His response takes the total of Perek Yud Tezayin and Yud Zayin, 16 and 17, whereafter we'll find Bildad's second speech. Our Perek is 22 psukim long, and he makes four main points. The first point he makes is from Sukkim Aleph to Gimel, where he says, look, why is it that you keep repeating yourself? Is this an emotional argument that you need to stamp your foot, Eliphaz? And he says so powerfully, Haketz ledivrei ruach, is there an end to empty words, words full of air? The way the Malbim explains this is that when a person has a point to make, he makes it and keeps quiet. If you don't have a point to make, you keep waffling. You know, Eliphaz, you keep repeating yourself. You keep saying the same things. And in fact, if you go back to Eliphaz's initial speech, there are many repetitions. One example is his idea of human beings not being able to outsmart the divine. He says that both explicitly in both parakim, in both of his arguments. He talks about human beings having free will. These are arguments he repeats. So what Iyov says is, why are you waffling? If you have anything new to add to the argument, then add it. But don't keep stamping your foot and saying the same thing. He goes on to make his second point. This point stretches from Psukim Dalad to Hay, only to Psukim. And he says a very emotionally difficult argument. Gam anochi kochem adabera, lu yesh nafshechem tachas nafshi, ach biro aleichem milim, v'ani aleichem, were you in my place, were our roles switched, you were in the sickbed, you were suffering immeasurably, and I was coming to you, you know what I would do? I would strengthen you. I would give you words of comfort. I would make it so much easier for you, because I know that you're fighting such a hard war all by yourselves. And if I were to just give you the chizuk, maybe it would help you get through that terrible situation. What he's pointing out is that you, my friends, the ones who are supposed to be the ones helping me, giving me the resolve to get through this, are in fact the ones who are giving me the hardest time and diminishing my spirit. He now moves into the main and the central argument in this perek, which is his third point, which runs from Sukkim Vov to Yud Zayin. This is the central point of the perek. And he paints a picture of an injustice which has been perpetrated. He is the victim of it. And he describes this injustice which has unfolded, occurring to him, without any way of recompense. And just to appreciate the way he describes it, he describes this injustice from a number of angles, in the perspective of the witnesses, the crowd, and the judge, who are all unfair. The way he uses it, as the Malbim explains, is in the way it used to work in certain backwards countries, and unfortunately today still is the case. Let's say you have a person that the government decided to accuse. And the government doesn't have any substantial evidence or even circumstantial evidence. So what do? In a lot of these countries, what they would do is they would torture the person to confession. If the person remains silent, then they would say, you know, the person might be innocent. But if the person cries out, the cry shows that in fact they're not innocent, and they would carry on, and the crowd would join in, and everybody would carry on torturing this person because they believe that this person actually had admitted by responding. So what he's pointing out is, what is the witness here? Vatikmateini le'ed hoya vayokom bi kachashi before na'yane. So what happened to me? I suffered. And then I cry out in pain. And what do? You see the crying out in pain, which is as a function of the pain that I was going through, as the testimony that, in fact, I deserve this. How does that work? Why should my crying out in pain be the testimony? It's interesting. Well, I was reading about the Spanish Inquisition, just horrific, just horrific on all sides. And they describe how, you know, people would be brought in. These would be converso Jews who turned to Christianity as a refuge, or being forced to convert, and they'd be brought in for the Inquisition, and they would be accused of acting Jewish practices and being a closet Jew. And what would happen is that if the people would deny it, they would torture them to the point that they would admit. They'd be brought in front of the tribunal. Then they would deny everything they said inside. And then they would torture them again until they were brought out. And this happened numerous times until they were so broken that they would admit in front of the tribunal and thereby either lose their assets or sometimes be killed. So this is what would happen. The Malbim says, that's the kangaroo court I stand in front of. I'm turning to my own friends and I'm crying out in pain. And you see that my crying out in pain is, in fact, the proof in the pudding that I am guilty. Yosobu, and he describes his life. You know, Yosobu alai rabov yufalak yilchil yosai v'lo yachmol yashpoch loriz merorasi. He describes how his life has been embittered and broken all the way down and in front of this young judge who puts him up as a matara, as a bullseye for arrows. It's terrible how he describes this. And he says, Aloi chomos b'chapa yusfilos yizakah. I had no thievery in my hands. My tefillos were pure. The Rav Shah points out that there's a correlation between those two ideas in Pasuk Yud Zayin, and that is if a person does have theft and deceit under their name, their tefillah cannot be zakah. Their tefillah cannot be pure. You know, sometimes we wonder, you know, even the thief prays, the prayer of the thief. So don't worry. Tefillos are eno zakah. You know, their prayer is not so pure. If we've got chamos b'kapoy, if a person has dishonesty in their hands, their tefillos are not going so far. So that's what he says. And finally, in a very emotional, powerful, final and last point he makes in this parak from Sukim Yud Ches to Chof Beis, he says, such a powerful line, Eretz al tachasi dami, va'al yihi makom lezakasi. Land, do not cover up my blood. Don't absorb my blood and forget about me. I am dying because I am innocent. And he turns to the heavens, he says, Gama tohine v'ashamayim edi. You know, my witnesses are really in heaven. My witnesses are upon high. And he describes Militzai Re'ai El Eloika. My ideas are going to be my militzim, are going to be my defense agents. And then Hashem, the true judge, with true witnesses, will really adjudicate my case and know my innocence. And then he adds in the last line, which the Malbim believes is attached to the next parak as part of his next argument, Ki shenois mispar yeresoyu v'oirech lo yoshuv o'alech. I'm not going to walk for much longer on this earth, so let it come soon. Which is coming back to the argument about Tzichias HaMesim, about resurrection of the dead, which the Malbim sees is connected to the next parak. It's worthwhile noting, so what he's essentially saying is, I've been in the kangaroo court of men on earth, and you are the crowd who are looking at the witness of my screaming out in pain, and therefore you are all fallible, you are all incorrect. Land, do not take this iniquity, do not take this injustice and fly over it. Understand, I've been treated unjustly, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will deal with that when I come to heaven. Just a few interesting innuendos in his language. One is that when he describes how he will, when he goes up to heaven, he describes that when he goes to Meromim, that's where he will be judged and his witnesses will be true. The Malbim points out that there's a double entendre here. That on the one hand, the witnesses on heaven are the true witnesses, but on the other hand, it could be the zodiac that he's referring to, which he said he was left to. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu abandoned him in this world to other forces. So maybe those are the forces of Meromim. Just a fascinating point. I would also suggest that the when he uses the word Re'ai, Re'ai over here is understood by the Meforshim as his witnesses, Militzai, as being Re'ai as ideas. But it's also important to know that the word Re'ai, of course, means friends. And there's again the double innuendo. His friends and his ideas. Who are really his witnesses? Who are really his defending agents? Not his friends. That's what he seems to be pointing out. It's also worthwhile noting that the main argument of this parak, as Rosh Hashanah points out, is that his friends just don't understand him. I think of him as an evil person, a person who perverts himself and other people. And his argument is the opposite. I want to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My entire argument is one way of just getting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That closes this parak. We'll finish up his arguments in Parak Yud Zayin tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.